Welcome on to another edition of the Dunktown Basketball Podcast. We have a little bit of a lighter episode for y'all today. We're going to be drafting the all-aesthetic and the all-anti-aesthetic teams. Danny is here, of course, but more importantly, the sole arbiter of what is good and what is bad from an aesthetic standpoint in the NBA, Jason Concepcion. Jason, what's up?
What is up? Very exciting. Very excited to be here, guys. How great is that Skype ring?
Is it just like the tone?
Do, do, do. Mine is like a beat.
Yeah, so is mine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's actually, when you're receiving it, it's good. When you're actually making the call, it's miserable.
It's a dial tone.
Like, it's not even, it's like worse than a dial tone somehow. All right, so do you guys know each other, by the way?
Yeah, we met at Summer League.
Yes.
Ah, good. Okay. So here's kind of what I had in mind. I figured it was just more efficient to talk about it this way. So we're thinking we're going to do a snake draft with Danny and I. Jason, feel free to break in with commentary on any of our picks at any time. The number one pick will be determined by Danny and I guessing what you believe Kristaps Porzingis' ceiling is. what number player in the league it ultimately is. Cause I think there's a big advantage here to going first. And so it'll be snake draft. The rules are essentially like the guy you pick has to be a rotation level guy. If he's not, like, then Jason can nix him. Let's see what else. Yeah. So if
are we doing, and
with my,
the way I
yeah,
thought
go ahead,
of it
sorry.
Was the teams were going to be 2 point guards, 4 wings and 4 bigs, just as a simplification as opposed to individual positions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think the rule for positions is just like, as long as the guy actually plays that position for his team or has played it before in his career, like, you're okay. Like, you can't do, like, 5 point guards or something like that.
Okay, yeah. I separated my whole chart into point guards, wings, and bigs. But, yeah, I think it's well split up between the isolated positions in case we want to get nitpicky.
Yeah, so you have to do a normal starting lineup, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, and then a backup point guard, backup wing, backup big.
Okay, yeah.
That'll... is essentially how I'm thinking about it. And then same thing.
I'm sorry? Teams by watchability or actual goodness? How are we going to rank?
No, so it's by, like, just aesthetic. Yeah,
watchability is probably the best word for it.
Yeah, and whatever criteria you want to do, whether it's how they play together, whether it's how much you hate the individual guys, whatever. I think it's totally up to you. You are the sole arbiter here. You could do whatever criteria you want, and, you know, I'm sure we can sort of try to accommodate you.
Yeah, the only other thing I'll mention is we're picking both teams at the same time, and so I guess we should designate which one a player's on, though I think it'll be pretty obvious.
I don't know. There could be some controversial picks.
Who picks first?
all right, well, so we have to figure out, Danny and I have to guess what you believe Kristaps Porzingis' ceiling is, like what number player in the NBA. Danny, I will let you go first.
Top X or top, or you actually have to guess the player.
No, like, you know, like top X.
Okay, yeah.
All right, I will go first,
sure,
Danny, I guess, because just to give you the ability to, like, come in one spot below or above me, which I assume that sportsmanship will prevent you from doing, but
it will.
You know, we'll see. All right. I think that Jason believes Kristaps Porzingis could be a top 15 player in the NBA.
I was going to say top 10, so I'll stay top 10.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he.
All right, what is it?
It's top 10. I don't think he. Let's be precise. I don't think he gets there, but I think if everything breaks right, he could be a two-way star, top 10 player in the league. Do I think he gets there? I think the odds are against him. But do I think he has that ceiling? Yes.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it's. I decided to make you the arbiter. I'm paying the price for that. Right now.
Well, you're a known Kristaps hater.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mollifying to some degree. But yeah, I'm sure I am known.
The funny part is that I think I was more critical if he was than you were. It's just that you were more open about it. and you're more famous than I am, so it works.
I don't know if that's true after the KD piece, actually. So yeah, anyway, actually, I guess this has been good. Like, we haven't said anything bad, right? Why don't I just use this? I'll just record like a little intro beforehand. This is actually about as good of an explanation as we're going to give to people anyway.
Yep.
Now, of course, if you wanted to watch one of these amazing aesthetic or anti-aesthetic teams, you would want to get tickets via SeatGeek. SeatGeek is my go-to for getting tickets. My uncle actually got some for the Bulls versus Spurs game, which was an expensive game, but he managed to get a great deal by SeatGeek. And if I have an extra ticket for a game or a concert, I use SeatGeek to sell it to a friend or to another fan. So you've got that aspect of it as well. What's so special about SeatGeek is it pulls all the ticket buying and selling options from other ticket sites into one place to save you time. So they know the fair market value of every ticket. They use that information to show you what the best deals are and help you find underpriced seats. And if you have tickets you can't use, SeatGeek will help you price your tickets on their site so you can quickly sell them to another fan. And for that, SeatGeek has the lowest fees of any ticket site out there and always shows you the full price up front. Not only that, it's an app that you can use extremely easily on your phone. Just a couple of swipes and you are there. You've got it. No entering a bunch of letters or having to hit the button where you listen to the letters and then enter them in on your computer. It's much easier to just do it on the app. And also, my listeners now can get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. If you download the free SeatGeek app, go into the settings tab and click on add a promo code. You can enter the promo code CAPSPACE. That's all one word and easy to remember because we talk about CAPSPACE all the time on the program. And SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CAPSPACE today to get tickets for sports or anything else. All right, Danny, you have the number one pick, which I think could be a big advantage, although from my way of thinking, there is one really obvious pick for the good and for the bad, but we'll see where you go here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the good side, and for me, the good guy is Stephen Curry. I mean, I think that you build a team around him, it's going to be watchable no matter what.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think of that, Jason? Is that like just the clear overall number one pick?
I disagree. I mean, he's kind of the emblematic offensive player of this time in the NBA. He's got the incredibly cute child. It's kind of like he's like a quintuple threat. He's really got everything that you need.
I don't know that the rules extended to like post game press conferences here. I thought,
hey, we have an arbiter for a reason, so I will take this and I will run with it. Now I want to think about both as cute kids.
I actually feel like in thinking about it more before the show, I tried to think of what sort of person I was really trying to impress here, and this is someone who has dealt with years and years of miserable New York Knicks basketball. And in fact, he probably doesn't even know what good basketball is. I don't know why we even picked him to do this. But but for someone who really, truly appreciates pain, I feel that like he might weight the bad team slightly more than the good team. And so my number one pick is very clear, Kobe Bryant as my shooting guard on the bad team.
Here's the thing, Nate. I feel like you could have let this pick go until like what? You could have snaked along like eight guys before you got to Kobe.
I would have taken him. I'm telling you right now, I would have taken him.
let me just say that I love this pick though. I think it's great. First of all, he's in conversation right now. You're going to be on, your team will be on SportsCenter every night and you will be talked about. Think pieces, dissecting his legacy will come every single day. This is a great pick.
It is. I mean, the media attention, I think, is going to be fantastic. We're going to have quotes like, yeah, you could tell that the opposing team thought that I might go for 81 points after I made my first two shots. that's what he actually said last night.
I know it. Nate, you think that now you have actually made the rational case for the Lakers extending Kobe? Don't you think? Because they had just had that new TV deal. He's a huge part of why people tune in. And so they're like, listen, let's give him the money. Comes back for 2 years. And you just proved You just proved the logic behind it by drafting him number one for your team.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the people in Southern California needed a break from watching, like, helicopter footage of, like, high-speed car crashes.
And the fact that they have no water.
Hey, it's been raining now, actually, recently. We're back, baby. All right, so I get another pick here since it's the snake draft. All right, so I'm going to need a ruling on this because this player has played rotation minutes and even started so far. Kobe is actually my small forward, I think. Sasa Vujicic as my shooting guard is going to be my next choice. Again, pandering to the crowd here with the New York Knicks. I mean, I think you can rule on whether I should be allowed to use him or not. He has been out of the NBA for 4 years before this.
But he
did, in fact, start, like, as recently as this month. I think I should be allowed to do him. What is your ruling?
I'll let you use him. I think he's a bad pick. He's recently fallen out of the rotation because I guess Derek Fisher finally realized that he is truly awful.
Wait, so the fact that he's bad enough to fall out of the rotation means he's not a good pick?
No, I think the fact that he...
Byron Scott is my coach. He's going to play him.
The only juice... Yeah, that's true. I just think,
oh yeah, we should include a coach, huh? I totally forgot about that.
I just think the only juice
we can
you
do
really
that at
get...
the end. We can do a snake for the coaches.
No, I think you should just be able to pick the coach whenever you want,
oh,
whatever
God.
You think. Some...
Oh God!
I just think the only juice you really get from Vujicic is the Goran Dragic feud, because that's really his only. That's the only reason he's relevant in the NBA is that he might fight Goran Dragic at some point, which would be great.
All right, well, I made my pick. I'm not allowed to change it now because you disapproved. All right, Danny, you got two picks there.
Okay, well, I was actually anticipating having to take somebody else, but now I don't think I have to, so I'm a little bit pleased about that. But I'm going to go positive on the first one, and I'm going to do the pairing which my now much read Sporting News piece talked about, and I'm going to pair Stephen Curry with Kevin Durant. I think that would be an amazing team to watch. I think that he's a great player, and I'll let Jason talk because I've talked too long.
I think the interesting thing about this matchup is you can constantly ask Durant what he thinks of Kobe sucking for Nate's team. Like, you ask him after every game, Kobe went 1 of 21 tonight. What are your thoughts?
Oh man! Yeah, I guess. All right, I'm gonna. I you get one more pick. Then,
I do. And so yeah. My other pick, I was gonna go with a wing, but since you took two, I feel okay with that. So I'm gonna take Omer Asik, who has just been dreadful this year.
Negative 22 net rating. I just looked it up today, and which seems about right in a significant amount of minutes of games. He's looked awful.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. He was actually would have been my number one pick for worst center. I'm a little grieved that you took him. All right, I'm going to need a little bit of help here and on my good team and continuing my attempt at shameless pandering, on which I'm 1 for 2 so far. My starting center will be Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, man, that's great. Listen, I mean, he's taken over the NBA. That ESPN just showed a promo with his Latvian language rap song in it. You know, he's very exciting. He's also my large adult son, so I approve.
Can I make a note here that I'm very frustrated that the NBA pronunciation guide does not have it pronounced the way that it is in the rap video, because that's the only way I ever want to pronounce his name for the rest of his career.
It's like Porzingis.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's not what the pronunciation guide says, so I'm going to stick with that for now.
He's got ninth highest PER of a 20-year-old rookie in history right now. Just putting that out there.
Please tell me you have that bookmarked.
I do. I check it after every game.
All right, so I get one more pick here. Let's see. I'm going to go with Draymond Green as my power forward.
Ooh, I like this pick too. It's just, number one, you get a guy who is, kind of he's the symbol of the cutting edge NBA in a lot of ways. positionality, the way he can affect a game in so many different ways, the way he got paid. And I think also you can't discount the fact that he's just an an elite level shit talker, all time shit talker. And I think that's very important for today's NBA because the Warriors, their dominance has really destabilized the NBA like incredibly. And I think his shit talking is a huge part of that.
All right, Danny, you got two picks there.
Yeah, I have two picks. The first one is going to be one that is in a way more blatant pandering to Nate than to Jason, but Steve Blake. I mean, the guy's just driving me insane all year, so I feel like he has to be there. And then my positive one is kind of, in a way, the anti-Steve Blake, which is Manu Ginobili for my good team.
Ooh.
Yeah, all right. That's not bad. I mean, if your starting shooting guard is only going to play, 17 minutes a game, I think that's fine.
I'm fine with that. He's.
Yeah. Let's. Are you writing yours down, by the way, Danny? I'm writing mine down.
Yeah, I'm writing yours down and mine down.
Ah, good. Okay. Then I won't even bother to write mine down then. Although you could easily just like change up some of the ones that I said. Maybe I should keep my own record here.
Wow. Impugning Danny's honesty.
Hey, this Danny is a very objective analyst most of the time, but I feel like in this competition he could very easily turn rogue. Yeah. All right, so it's my turn. Let's see here. I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook as my point guard on the good team, that is. And
you don't have to say that, I think, with that one.
Yes. There are some people who think he like doesn't pass enough and stuff like that. I think it was important to clarify. And Spencer Hawes will be my starting center.
Oh, I love Spencer Hawes. This is the year of Spencer Hawes should be. It's an election year. He should be talking a lot more. He should be giving a lot more interviews. He should be saying stuff. I want to hear from Spencer Hawes. Yeah. I want to hear about Ted Cruz.
I think once the primaries start up, I think we will start to hear more from him.
I feel like he's hardcore Trump. Nah.
Well, so where is he played
before?
I think
he's more Ted Cruz.
More Ted Cruz?
That would be my guess. I don't know if he has the libertarian streak in him, but I my instinct is he's more Ted Cruz than Trump.
He could be that Rand Paul thing too. I think Ted Cruz is right. I think you're right. He's more Ted Cruz.
All right.
Do you want me to go?
Yes. I think it's your turn.
Okay. So before we do this, I want a conceptual ruling, which is: can I play a player at a specific position with the intent that he doesn't get to play any other position?
I mean, I guess so. I guess it's up to Jason.
Yeah. Sure. Why not? Why not?
Okay. Okay, so then I'm going to wait to take one guy, but I can't wait any longer to take DeMar DeRozan for my bad team.
Oh, wow.
You know what, though? I thought about him, but anybody who dunks on Rudy Gobert like that does not deserve to be on the bad team.
Wow, DeMar.
Like, I'm sorry. That's like, I mean, I understand he dribbles a lot, he takes a lot of mid-rangers, he pump fakes, he gets fouled, whatever. Like, I see where you're going, but yeah, he's just like kind of annoying sometimes. If he's going to dunk all over Rudy Gobert, and the guy who has the dunk of the year cannot be on the bad team.
That's one play a year.
The thing about DeMar DeRozan is he's kind of like the indie rock, like mellow in terms of divisiveness. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to know the NBA to be like, fucking DeMar DeRozan. You know what I mean? Like, why does that guy like pump fake a million times and like take a bunch of heavy dribble long twos?
All right.
Okay, then I have one more.
Oh yeah, you do. I'm sorry.
I have one more, and because he hasn't gone yet, Dirk Nowitzki.
Ooh.
Dirk. Yeah, I'm sure you enjoy. I assume he's on the good team.
Yes,
right?
He's on the good team. So I have Durant, Dirk, and Curry on the same team.
Curry and Durant, I think, are going to defend really well with a traffic cone next year.
you talk about this like as much as you and I both love defense, that is more leads to more watchability than a team that has arguably the best shooters for their size and all of all time at those three heights.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But you know, you're just not going to be able to stop anybody now, which is
Dirk actually got spun around last night. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, which was incredibly watchable.
A spinning traffic cone. I mean, if he got spun around, it was all like while standing in one place.
A full 360.
Well, okay, Nate, you get a guess. I don't know if you know who they played last night. You get a guess as to who did it, if you haven't seen it.
I've not seen it. I had a social engagement last night, but I heard this. It's CJ.
Yeah. It was magnificent. It was absolutely amazing.
It looked like one of those like one of those jousting, you know, like arms that you jousted and then it spins around. Like it was impressive. And Dirk actually seemed like you can see him smile when he comes around for like the last 40 degrees of the 360. Like he's like, that's gonna look bad.
I guess, you know, maybe that could provide some extra comedy points to the good. All right, Kawhi Leonard is going to be on my team, my good team. I don't know how much of this we're sort of just doing, all right, this team is just playing a full season against just like anybody, and how much we're actually doing the matchups. But if we do match up against each other, Kawhi is shutting down KD on Danny's team.
How many minutes does he get over Kobe? What's the split? Kobe and Kawhi, what's the minute split there?
Well, I think we're assuming they're two different teams.
Okay.
So
zero. Well, I mean, if Nate wants to play, give Kawhi some minutes on his bad team or Kobe some minutes on his good team, I will welcome that.
Yeah, no, I think we'll not be putting Kawhi on the bad team. All right. Yeah, so I got four people on my good team now. I'm liking this. We got some good defenders. We're going to switch everything. We got some great shooting. Very happy with this squad so far.
Okay, so you have one more pick.
I do. I think we need a little fortification for the bad team. Tayshaun Prince will be starting for me at... I guess he'll be coming off the bench Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to start Tayshaun Prince at power forward.
I'll allow it. That's ridiculous, but I'll allow it.
You know, I could see, the thing is, like, I could see, this is like, I could see a team next season being, let's roll the dice on Tayshaun Prince. See if there's, like, let's try, see if there's any gas at all left in Tayshaun Prince. He's been washed for a number of years now, and it's sad.
Yeah, to borrow your phrase about Jose Calderon in the Knicks preview that we did, he lacks movement.
Yeah, he lacks the ability to move.
It's a problem.
Period.
Okay, so those are both good picks. I'm gonna shore up my bad team with Zach LaVine at point guard. I'm specifying he plays point guard.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Because I'm not sure anybody at a specific position drives me more insane.
Now, hold on, though.
He's actually been better, though. He's had, like, some 20-point games.
But that's mostly because he's been playing more, too. When he plays two, he's fine. When he plays one, he's a disaster.
Let me just... I think disaster is strong, though. Yes, I mean, it's not great. But it's disaster? Come on.
Yeah, I know his advanced stats are bad, but that's... Like, you need some, like, more visceralness to your bad TV game. Oh, he's got, like, a negative RPM. I feel like that's not, like, quite the level of badness that I personally would be looking for.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying I think disaster is...
You have to keep in mind he's playing with DeMar DeRozan. So it's just going to be a race for terrible shots. And then on my good team... I'm going to go with somebody who actually has defensive capability and who plays center, and that's Karl Anthony Towns.
Ooh, fallen off a bit lately. What do you make of that?
It's a little bit concerning, but his coach is Sam Mitchell, so I'm going to let it slide.
And the rookie wall is a real thing. Also.
Yeah, and he's super young. I'm not concerned.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have a very controversial pick here.
Good.
On my bad team... My coach is Sam Mitchell. I think hopefully that doesn't count as using a pick. And
oh wait, yeah, that counts as a pick.
It does. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, so yeah, I have two picks here. All right. So first one is Coach Sam Mitchell, and then second one is backup center Carl Towns, who's going to play behind Spencer Hawes. He's going to have to come off the bench. He's only going to play like 10 minutes a game, and it's going to be so incredibly vexing when Sam Mitchell doesn't start him over Hawes. That's the thinking here.
I like
that. Just fans of this team will just be banging their head against the wall all year because Towns is coming off the bench behind Hawes.
Wow. This is a Byron Scottian move, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was down to Scott or... Actually, no. All right, I'm changing up. My coach is going to be Scott, obviously, because
damn it,
you know, I have Kobe. I mean, we really have to bring Kobe.
And also, there's not the lingering issue of like death.
Yeah, you know that I nearly tragic chose Byron death. Scott just so you couldn't have him.
Yeah, no, I'm going with Scott, and he will still play Karl Anthony Towns off the bench behind Spencer Hawes. Just for 10 minutes a game, just so enough
right. So
that you can, like, see his potential and be angry right. That he's not
You need that him. Veteran. Listen, Hawes brings that veteran guts that Towns doesn't understand yet about the NBA. What do you make of my conspiracy theory that Byron Scott is the patsy in a very elaborate tanking scheme by Mitch Kupchak?
I don't know. It seems like one of those things that it's like, it's... I've definitely heard this theory before, and they're playing so badly that I think they are just so concerned with the optics that they just got him just because he's like a Laker and Magic Johnson wasn't going to criticize him.
I think it's a chicken and the egg thing. I think that they wanted somebody that the management wanted somebody who was going to play Kobe, and they just found the perfect guy who they could either whether it was molding or his own design. I think they were just in line, so they just found the perfect coach for everything. Except winning.
Yeah, but this is my point. I'm telling you, he's like, it would make no sense to bring in a good coach to coach Kobe, right? Last 2 years of his career. You bring in Scott, he's got the Laker bona fides, nobody's going to question him. He's got bad coaching ideas. And you need to keep that pick. I think, I'm telling you. And Mitch...
Yeah, I think the chance of actually keeping that top three pick, though, is low enough that I don't think that they would necessarily be doing this. And also, because 2016 free agency, I mean, 2 years ago, everyone thought that was going to be like the greatest free agency ever.
Yeah.
And so you couldn't just be a complete joke this year and hope to get free agents in 2016. I mean, they've been sort of aiming towards that year for a long time. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's not exactly the end of the world for them right now. It's going to actually be the best thing for the franchise overall, but I don't think that that's intentional. It's hard to believe.
Here's the thing, though, about the complete... I think the Lakers are coming around to that. They've come around to that reality that you can't... That it's no longer the place geographically. It's no longer L.A. But I think I would make the case that the way they responded to the LaMarcus failed pitches and last offseason... showed that they didn't really fully understand that you could not be a trash fire and attract people yet.
Oh, you're saying they just figured they could be bad and still get people.
Really,
yeah.
I really think they thought that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, the fact that they signed guys like Boozer and traded for Lynn last year, like I think they actually thought those guys could help them. Trading for Hibbert this year, I mean, if they really wanted to tank, they would have just not gotten him. I mean, signing Lou Williams, like, for a contract that actually goes into 2016. I don't know. I'm the simplest explanation is always the easiest one, and that explanation is that they have not done very well in any aspect of basketball in the last few years.
The truth is
So what do we? How many picks do we have left? Each, Danny, are we...
So if we're doing eight players per team, or do you want to do more? I have more prepped if you want to do more.
No, eight players per team,
My good team has five, my bad team has four, so I have nine.
Okay, yeah, that's what I have for mine, too. So we need, basically, we need seven more picks each.
So my next two I'll go with my good one first because I've been doing bad then good most of the time. My other center is going to be a guy who I personally love watching. That's Tim Duncan.
Wow. Yeah. Is he still the top big and defensive real player?
Yes.
Man, Tim Duncan, amazing! What an amazing freaking career.
Yeah, I also think he'd be he could be a defensive anchor for this team, and also he passed. Yeah, I just think he'd be a great fit. And my bad team
guys. You guys are going to be great. You guys are going to be great guarding all the pick and pops that I do with Dirk. And
see, I'm not conceiving of it as these teams facing one another. I'm thinking of just watchability personally, but it doesn't make. I stand by my team either way.
I've never, especially now that he's not like really operating in the low block anymore. I've never really thought that Tim Duncan had like. Some beautiful aesthetic offensive game. Very effective player, obviously.
He's like a wrench or a hammer. It's like you're going to use him all the time, like you don't put it on the wall and look at it.
See, my theory with that is I think that he's been on so many watchable teams, and he's been like one of the only constants that I think that is something that vouches for him at a position where not that many guys are constants on watchable teams.
Okay. All right, so you got one more
pick
here.
I can't believe you haven't taken him yet, so I'm just taking him out of spite. Austin Rivers.
Oh. Austin, come on. I'm not saying he's good, but he's been a little better than Sear, hasn't he?
Okay, so he's playing on a team with Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Steve Blake. I don't think I need a sales pit.
That's going
to be... See, I think you need someone to get the ball to your really bad gunners, though. Right? Like, I actually want someone who has, like, some real point guard skills. Just so that like these guys can get the ball in the opportunity.
That's what Steve Blake is. Steve Blake's a low usage guy who never gets to the free throw line. So I hadn't looked at it, but Steve Blake's free throw rate is incredibly low. I was looking at this stuff because I got inspired by TJ McConnell basically never shooting free throws, and I was like, Steve Blake is he's gone multiple times where he's gone 15 games without shooting a free throw.
will you do a Blake like LaVine Austin Rivers? DeRozan, like, will you put them all out at the same time? That would be cool.
If the arbiter thinks that's cool, then I fully support it.
Oh, awesome.
And Oshik is the center on that team. Remember that.
Oh, man. This is like...
Oh, you got to have some rim protection, Danny.
And some no-hands protection.
This is like a really emo bad team. I like it.
Okay, so now it's Nate's turn for two.
All right, who did I have as my point guard? I was just thinking of it too, and now it's escaping me. All right, very controversial pick here. Actually, no, I'll save him until the end because there's no way Danny's ever going to take him.
Oh, I know what that is.
All right. Oh yeah, point guard Ty Lawson.
Oh, okay.
Has been one of, on the bad team, obviously. He's been maybe the worst point guard in the NBA this year. Not trying at all. Not perhaps the greatest locker room influence. I mean, I think we need someone on the team who's going to, inspire some of the young guys on the squad to like go out and have a good time and get into some incidents.
Harden.
Yeah, no, I think...
Can I make a case against Ty Lawson on the bad team, which is that last year he wasn't unwatchable, and so I think that this could be an aberration?
You're living in the past, man.
Way in the past.
I'm living in everything before the last month.
I mean, the league's like biggest disappointing team, I think, needs to have at least one representative.
Are you poaching another podcast?
My arguments that you are living in the past are that... He never, like, I mean, the guy has a serious problem. Let's put that first. But, like, that interview with Woj where he's like, you know, I just feel like I just, you know, made a mistake twice. It's like, even if you really believe that, your PR team or whoever cannot let you say that. Number one, you got to be like, yes, I've learned from, you got to just, like, politically just be like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. And I think number two, you know, like, small point guards, when they fall off, it happens quick, and it doesn't come back.
All right, so do I still need to do another pick? I forgot.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see here. So my bad team is looking pretty strong. I need a shooting guard here. I'm going to go with Kyle Korver.
Ooh.
Get some space for everyone else. He's going to move off the ball. Pretty good team defender. Can switch stuff a little bit. I think he's a good choice.
I agree. He's got those.
And there's not that many actually like really fun to watch shooting guards these days. As I was going through the list, I was a little disappointed by kind of what's
That's
out
why
there.
I took Manu early.
What? No love for Aaron Aflalo, I guess.
Okay, so Nate, are we ready for my picks?
Absolutely.
Nate said his bad team was good, so that means I'm still going to take two bad guys because I can't believe they're both still on the board. An extra big, Derek Williams. And
I don't know. He's like was only in the rotation for like the first three games. Of
Jason,
the game,
what's right? your ruling?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I guess if I can get Bouyousset, yeah, should be Derek Williams.
And right? then my other one, my just like extra bullet in the chamber, Lance Stephenson.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm upset that you took him away from me.
Lance.
I mean, and you like he and Austin Rivers have already proven that they completely lack chemistry with one another. I think that's important to have guys who are on the same team and you know that they can't play together already.
And him and Lance and Zach LaVine at one would be even worse.
Oh yeah! Wow, you're really cornering the market on like shoot first, second, and third players
because that's what I hate the most. So my bad team is actually close to full. I have one more spot left.
All right, so it's back to me again?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Need a power forward on my bad team, and I think that Jordan Hill would be the logical choice there.
Interesting. Interesting apathy is what you
again.
Like.
Again, you know, another Knicks failed draft pick.
Yeah.
Pandering to the crowd there, a guy who somehow you know has a lot of athleticism but doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Gets the ball just enough to annoy you and shoot and doesn't really play any defense.
He's just an incredibly apathetic basketball player. Like a guy who constantly dogged by "I wish he'd play harder," like sourced comments from like various people around his teams.
All right, and so I need something to the good here. I'm going to go with Jabari Parker as a backup forward.
Hey.
A Chicago guy coming off the ACL, but he will definitely dunk on you. Awesome Euro steps. This is a forward-thinking pick. I think everyone is going to be seeing by the end of the year, once he really starts ramping up, that this is a prescient pick.
His defense, your thoughts on his defense? It's going to get better or it's going to what?
Well, the fact that he was demoted from the starting lineup recently might not be that great, but we've got plenty of other guys who can defend, including Kristaps Porzingis, the greatest defender in NBA history. So
not yet.
I think we'll be okay.
In 3 to 5 years.
All right, Danny, I think you're up now.
Yeah, I am. So it's been funny. I've been waiting to take my backup good point guard for this whole time because there have been two guys that I've been considering, but you're just not taking either of them, so I'm just going to take Ricky Rubio. My boy. I couldn't go make this team without Ricky Rubio.
Wow. It's going to be some hard feelings with Rubio and Austin on the wrong side of the good-bad team divide. I mean, I'm sorry, Zach LaVine, rather.
Yeah.
Having a guy who can't shoot, I mean,
I'm okay with it.
You really want someone that like the opposing team can double off of him onto Kevin Durant with impunity. That's really going to help your watchability.
It's okay. He can pass. There are lots of other guys who can shoot. And then I again, a guy who I'm taking out of spite because I can't believe you didn't take him for the bad team is Dwight Howard.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, a very bold choice.
I love this choice, actually. you know, Dwight, man. I feel like it's a little too early to say that he's truly bad.
Well, it's not that he's bad, it's that he's not watchable.
Oh, yeah, he's not watchable. There's 100% he's not watchable. There's, like, that whole...
And I love that my big men were teammates, too.
That whole Rockets team right now is just, like, it looks like a suicide hotline. It's bad.
Yeah, all right, so I guess, does my bad team... I guess I don't have a backup point guard. I kind of violated the rules, it looks like. Yeah, because I got Prince as a power forward. That's right. Sasha and Kobe.
Do you even have a starting point guard?
Yeah, Ty Lawson.
Oh, Ty Lawson, that's right. Yeah. I don't have.
All right, so what do I still need here? I've got 1, 2, 3. All right, I guess I need two more players for the good team, and then I'm out. It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you need a coach for your good team, and I need both my coaches.
Oh, coach for the good team. Oh, yeah.
You might wait on that pick just because we each have one guy left, but I don't know.
No, actually, I want to go with my coach right now. I'm going to go with Steve Kerr as my coach.
The move is to pick Luke Walton, and then you get Steve Kerr and Luke Walton.
This is weird for a team that's 19-0. I actually don't think Luke is like that amazing.
Agreed.
To be honest.
We haven't talked about this.
I mean, he hasn't done a bad job. He's been, obviously he has to be, he's doing something right, but I don't think that he's been like, unbelievable. I mean, he wouldn't go with the death lineup because the other team had Brook Lopez on the floor and Jonas Valanciunas. Hopefully he's now has actually figured that out, but that was a little disappointing.
Okay. Let's say that a random person gets to coach the Warriors for 10 games against a randomized lineup of opponents. They would go what?
9-1.
A person off the street.
Well, a random person or a random coach? I was thinking like random...
No, just like a person like from the mall.
So do they have to listen to him? Because if you just took the coach away, they'd probably go 8-2 because they're just all... Nope. They have such a good system. They're so smart.
Right. Luke Walton goes back to assistant. So they can Luke and everybody can talk to this person and say, hey, you should do this now. But essentially the person calling the shots is like someone that you saw like...
But they watch basketball, right?
Maybe. Maybe.
Ooh, because they're in charge of the rotation.
If it were last year, this person, especially if you were white, probably would have started David Lee.
or if they were a dad.
But now that is no longer, because like white people just love David Lee, but now that that's no longer an option, I think like the damage that could be done is like extremely limited.
So what is your record? Random person off.
8-2. 8-2.
I think you got another pick. You got another pick.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Steve Kerr is my coach. And then I'm going to go with Aaron Gordon as another young guy off the bench the fans can get excited about. Great defender, can switch, get out in transition. We can go with Draymond as the backup center. We could go with no center at all. Really just great switchability, solid defense, good scoring, good shooting. I think we've got everything now on this team.
Yeah, I love that young Magic team too. Great.
Okay, so I think I only have one player left, and I'll take that first just because I might as well. I'm going to go with a guy that I think is going to surprise both of you, which is Rodney Hood. I love watching Rodney Hood.
All good in the hood. He got a game winner splashed in his face the other night.
He did. go ahead.
No, go.
And then my coach is going to be Popovich. I mean, I was going to go with Kerr, but I'll go with Pop.
Yeah, you definitely need someone who's going to bench your best player for giving up a backdoor in a game 7. That should help your watchability as well.
I'm okay with it. You can hate America if you want. You can hate the coach of the real coach of Team USA, the eventual coach of Team USA if you want. You can be that guy, but I'm not. I'm gonna do that. Actually, I'm realizing almost every no, that's not true because Towns is from the Dominican and Dirk.
I don't know. Does Pop's beard like help or hurt his case, Jason, with him as the coach?
I think it's softened his the kind of like the roughness. It's given him this kind of patriarchal vibe. You know, you can see the wine lover in him with that beard in full bloom.
How about like the sport jacket with like the tan, like the dark sport jacket with the tan slacks though? Like, isn't that hurting the aesthetics a little bit?
I mean, at this point, he kind of transcends that though, don't you think? Like,
He's beyond everything.
He's beyond it. People tune in because it's like, oh, Pop's absolutely going to eviscerate this person who's about to ask him a question. So I.
He does have the best press conferences. Yeah. That's true. Although Steve has the best, like, positive press conferences, I think, of any coach.
He's also, he's got this great, Kerr has a great dry snarkiness, too.
He does. And it works well with the Warriors press corps, as well.
Yeah. With Ethan, that fucking suck-up. one of the biggest suck-ups.
You're now at 2 F-bombs. That's the most we've had on this podcast, but that's all right. We don't have the technology to bleep it out, so I guess
we do. We do, but I don't know when they happen. So
Ethan knows I love him, by the way.
Yeah, he does. Just like he knows that JJ Redick loves him. Actually, I do need another guy on my team because I can't count.
Yeah, you do. You need one more.
All right, this is going to be incredibly controversial pick here. LeBron James on the bad team.
I'm so angry right now.
What? Wow. How good?
I think that he, last year in the playoffs, especially against the Warriors, because you saw the way that he put, remember who else is on this team now. This is a very important aspect of team construction. The way that he played against the Warriors was like maybe the least aesthetically pleasing basketball that I've seen. They were intentionally making it the least aesthetically pleasing basketball.
I mean, they had no choice. Let's be honest, though. They had no choice.
Well, with this team around him,
yes,
absolutely going to have no choice. And especially now you consider as well that Kobe's on the team, so he can only pass to three guys when he gets double teamed because he's never going to throw it to Kobe.
What's his usage is going to be in the 40s.
Yeah, it's going to be, and he's going to shoot like 31%. So it's all, you know, LeBron's game at times can be very, very aesthetically pleasing, although I think more so in Miami than in Cleveland. But with this team around him, he's just going to take it on himself to just back down every play, and it's going to just be terrible, unaesthetic basketball.
You know, 40. A usage of 40 with 30% shooting, Kobe won't like it, but he can't help but respect it.
Well, he'll take the other 40, and then, you know, there's only it is saddening that there's only 20% left for Sasha Vujicic and Ty Lawson and Jordan Hill. They're really going to be fighting over those scraps on this squad.
See, here, I think this is a great case for why my bad team is so much more bad than yours, is that LeBron on my team would just make it so much better, and not better in a bad way. Like, he would actually make them more watchable, and Mike, because he'd be taking shots away from DeRozan, Rivers, Levine, Steve Blake, Oshik, everybody else.
And you've got athletes, too, on that bad team. I mean, these are athletes.
Right, like, you're going to have, like, some awesome dunks on your team. Yeah. Like, this team is not going to happen.
Yeah, my team would be infuriating. Is more, I guess, more than they would be. Yeah, either way. Oh, but so are you done, or do you still have one more thing?
No, I think that's it. You have to pick a coach for your
bad team. Yeah, I have to pick a coach for my bad team. I've been thinking about two different guys. I'm going to go with Sam Mitchell, but I wanted to note that Lionel Hollins was under serious consideration.
Wow.
I don't think Lionel's actually been that bad.
Like,
that Nets team is actually, like, playing totally fine now after that start.
But yeah, but their offense just makes me sad. But Sam Mitchell's the choice.
That's true, and it did pain me to leave Jarrett Jack out of my out of my team.
I love Jarrett Jack as a bad player because he's like the thinking NBA fans bad guard.
So, well, I want to ask you guys, would you rather go through kind of who we, like, kind of our teams and then do that? Because one of the other things to do is talk about some of the other players that I considered that we didn't include on.
Oh, well, so let's start with this. Jason, was there anyone that you thought that we really should have had on either team that we did not select?
Oh, man, you know, this is a pretty good list. Let me think about it. This is a great list. Yeah, I don't.
All right. Well, if you think of someone, yeah. I mean, we'll kind of give some of our some of the other people that we had. And if you think of someone, feel free to break in. All right, yeah, who else did you have, Danny?
Jason, would you rather hear some good also-rans or some bad ones first?
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Okay, I'll give three bad ones in quick succession. Dion Waiters.
Oh, man, how did he not make a team?
Roy Hibbert. And
so you don't mind.
Yeah, I think Hibbert is underrated.
He's in better shape this
year.
Yeah.
And then for me, Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay just drives me crazy.
Yeah, the 5% pass rate on drives is that's not so good.
Nate, you want to
give
again, a couple?
Another guy who's going to have like some pretty good dunks on your team if you were to go with him. Some of mine, Jeff Green,
who
was a guy who was going to be on the bad team. Jamal Crawford, also for the bad team.
I love Jamal Crawford.
Although,
but not to... I
didn't select him. Yeah. And then actually, at point guard, J.J. Barea is someone whose game I just absolutely cannot stand.
And yet,
with all the flopping,
and yet,
the fact that he's not good. Like, yeah.
And yet...
He's just living off of Dirk.
And yet the Mavericks somehow get solid minutes out of him. I mean...
I know. That's what's so vexing, is that we know that he's just... in a vacuum, really bad. Like, we saw what he did in Minnesota for like 3 years before having to just get completely bought out. And then, but since he has Dirk, he's able to just like get to the rim still and actually be like halfway effective.
And Rick Carlisle's a wizard.
He's a genius. Rick Carlisle.
Yeah. And, but it's most of it is just the fact that the other team tries to post him up every time. And every single time he like stands up really hard on the first dribble and then falls down on the second dribble. I just can't stand watching that kind of flopping.
Oh, man.
Okay, some other good guys that I considered. I actually had some trouble with that last wing spot. I was thinking about Iguodala just because I love his defense and his team, but he, again, has the shooting issue, which I thought about with him but didn't care about with Rubio because I love Rubio. And the guy who I was actually the most surprised didn't make it on either team was Blake Griffin.
Yeah, underrated.
From a good watchability standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, like, on a team with other good players, unselfish players, I feel like he would be an amazing fit.
I feel like 2010 Blake Griffin, I could see, but now he's sort of like he complains all the time. I mean, he's shooting like half of his shots as mid-range jumpers, and it's effective, but his form's like kind of ugly. He doesn't really dunk anymore. Like, I wouldn't put him as like an incredibly watchable guy for me at this point.
Oh, and what, Nate, for you was, I thought about Devin Booker.
Yeah, I considered him. He just hasn't quite played enough for me to really to use him.
The Clippers are a great example of how the Warriors being so good has just completely destabilized almost the entire NBA. Because it's like, the Clippers stopped caring after that last Warriors loss. They just basically are like, whatever, we can't beat them, so it's over. The Rockets, might not be related, but maybe it is. LeBron is basically like turned into like mini Kobe, breaking up dance routines and like calling players only meetings when they're 11-4.
What do you think? Like the whole is wearing shorter shorts to like show kids that like you should have a more business like approach thing.
I mean, whatever. I don't think that works.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So do we want to go? Do we want to go through our teams, or are there more guys you want to talk about?
No, I think that's good. Let's get an adjudication here. All right, yeah. So, Danny, you want to list off?
So let's do good team, bad team, bad team.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. Yeah,
okay. So my good team is Stephen Curry, Manu Ginobili, Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki, Karl Anthony Towns, and my backups are Rubio, Rod Hood, and Tim Duncan, coached by Greg Popovich.
So Karl Towns is starting over Tim Duncan.
Well, I mean, they're gonna
lead to some friction.
They're gonna balance. They're gonna balance the minutes. Pop's gonna make it work. I'm fine with switching it. It's not a big deal.
All right. So my good team is Russell Westbrook at the one, Korver at two, Kawhi at three. I guess I don't have a backup point guard. That's no good. Well, too late now.
Russell played 48 minutes. It's not a
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can take Rajon Rondo if you want.
Yeah, that's right. I actually don't even
the rejuvenated Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, maybe Draymond Green's gonna have to be the backup point guard. He probably actually is the best choice out of anyone else on my team. Kawhi, small forward, Draymond at power forward, Porzingis at center, and then I still need one more guy. That's what the problem is. I never drafted a backup point guard.
Go ahead, quick.
All right. John Wall.
That was I was debating between Wall and for me.
All right. Yeah. All right. So then I got Wall, Aaron Gordon, and Jabari Parker as my backups. Steve Kerr is the coach.
Wow. So you have no wing backups. Wow.
Aaron Gordon, Jabari Parker, and Draymond Green.
They're both fours. They're all four.
Yeah.
But I'm not the adjudicator.
I think, you know, he's all right.
No, I mean, feel free to criticize my team.
There's a lot of positionality on that team, so you got guys that can move around. I think he's all right. You'll be all right.
All right. Okay, so are you going to decide? Well, I guess you're sort of doing like an overall ranking, right? But just your thinking right now, who is the better good
for
team?
For watchability? We're talking watchability, or are we talking better good team? No.
Just, it's all watchability. That's what we're going for here. But obviously, if your team's not going to actually be good, that's going to hurt your watch. Yeah. That's my thinking, at least. I mean, we brought you on to have autonomy here in whatever criteria
it.
You want to use. But to me, you know, if you have guys who can't defend or can't shoot, that's going to hurt your watchability. Yeah. and throwing that quiet
shade at Dirk Nowitzki and the like. I am going to, as much as Kristaps is my large adult son, and I think I've mentioned that, I love Draymond. Russ is a particular kind of spirit animal of mine also. I think I gotta lean Danny, just because I feel like Kawhi is watchable from the sense of, I just have to give the watchability edge to Danny. I mean, Korver, like,
I mean, once he had the number one pick with Steph, I was going to lose, I think. There's just no, like, he's the best. Like, I acknowledge that his team might well be better here.
I mean, the children love Steph Curry. He has a cute kid. He's the best shooter we've ever seen. I got to leave Danny.
That is a very sage and wise pick to pick his team. Now, please pick my team for the bad team.
Well, you guys have to, read off your...
Yeah, we have to list them off. Okay, I'll go first. Ty Lawson at point guard. Kobe at the three. Sasha Vujicic at the two.
Oh my God.
It's really a tough call. Does Byron Scott... Can I get a thought here? Does Byron Scott start Tayshaun Prince or Jordan Hill?
100% he starts Tayshaun Prince. he starts Tayshaun Prince. Tayshaun, first of all, just the age thing. He's got a ring. They beat the Lakers. He starts Tayshaun Prince.
Okay. I think that's probably right. And then Spencer Hawes is the starting center. And then my backups... LeBron James, Jordan Hill, and Carl Towns coming off the bench.
I like that you didn't have backup point guards originally on either of your teams. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with
it. I think that's fine. That's fine for the bad team. Kobe has played some point guard in his
career. My whole team is point guards. That's because...
He basically played point guard as recently as 2013 when Nash was out. I'm sure he can still handle it. He's the same player.
Okay, so with my team, I don't even really think about it in terms of a starting lineup. I just think about it as a overall unit. I think they're one team, and those eight players are Steve Blake, Austin Rivers, DeMar DeRozan, Omar Asik, Derek Williams, Zach LaVine, Lance Stephenson, and Dwight Howard, coached by Sam Mitchell.
You got to start Blake though to get the ball to these guys. These other guys.
Yeah, my original thought was starting Blake, Lance, DeRozan, Derek Williams, and Asik, but I'm also completely open to starting Austin. Actually, no, that's what I'll do. I'll start Blake, Rivers, Stevenson, DeRozan, and Asik.
I gotta go with Nate, because Kobe just gives you that, like, who will not tune in to see the final year of Kobe with this squad. Kobe reunited with the machine once again. Byron Scott as the coach. I mean, this is fantastic.
Yeah, and the best part is, like, you have enough names on this team.
Yeah.
That, like, people would actually, like, they would probably, like, be on ESPN all the time. And, like, people, like, would watch them, and, like, you know, people would predict that, like, they're actually going to be good at the start of the year, and then they would just completely implode.
Yeah, I think the difference between our teams is that your team is the type that would stink up a TNT game, and then mine is the type that would drive a season ticket holder fan base to just mass murder.
Right, your team, right, Danny's team is like the Tuesday night league pass watching type people who would want to slit their wrists, whereas Nate's is definitely like the marquee bad team.
Yeah, I mean, we need to inflict like the maximum possible amount of pain on the nation with this squad, and I think we are well set up to do that.
My favorite Kobe sequence from last night was he went up, like it was a long two, I believe, might have been a three, tried to draw the foul, lost the ball. It went to Julius. Julius gave it back to him for some reason. Or maybe it was Tariq Black. Someone gave it back to him, and then he kind of knifed or butter knifed into the lane and then threw up this layup that just like hit off the top of the square and just kind of flew randomly off into the night. It was so bad. It was so fucking bad. Sorry.
I still want Baxter Holmes could do it, or any Laker fan, to just do regularly a Kobe contested deep two counter just for games. Like I did it the game I covered. I might do it tonight at Wizards Lakers, depending on how that game goes. But I just feel like that's something that should happen.
As a Knicks fan, I'm not allowed to talk about long twos or mid range shots at all.
Fair point.
All right. Well, so now the final verdict in the aggregate. Did Danny or I do a better job?
Oh, man. I had to say, and I don't mean this in any way to pander to either of you. I think it's kind of a tie because his good team is really good, and they have, like, a lot of guys that really move the needle in terms of watchability, et cetera. Whereas your bad team is just elite. So I would have to call it a tie, especially, you know, the Byron Scott, Kobe, Vujicic, Hawes. Like, Hawes, I think, very underrated because he's going to – it's an election year, and you got to have Hawes, and I think that is huge. So I got to say it's a tie. And I don't mean that – I don't do that to you know, as I said, to not make a decision. I really believe that.
Yeah, I had hoped that by concentrating on the bad team, I could appeal to just your inner sort of like self-hating like Knicks fan over the last couple of years. And I did that, but you have this whole positive side of your personality.
Nate, Knicks fans are fundamentally optimistic. They're just dread the present, but not now, but normally. Like they always think it's going to be better. It's just not better right now until right now.
That is true. And then we hate ourselves for ever believing that. And then the cycle just continues.
Well, so do you want to talk Knicks for like 5 minutes here, by the way, before you go?
Sure, let's talk about the Knicks. They're on a three-game losing streak. They're playing the Sixers tonight, who are coming off a win, so we won't potentially be the first team to get beat by the Sixers. I think we win this game.
Yeah, the Sixers.
Well, you definitely won't be the first team to lose to the Sixers.
Which is fantastic. Wow. Which is great. Like, that takes so much pressure off, because you just don't want to be that team.
Well, what I kind of wanted to talk about, and Zach Lowe wrote a piece about this yesterday, which was excellent, is now that Porzingis is really, you know, exceeding expectations and is looking like a guy who at least I think, you know, you would think of his, anybody reasonable thinks of his ceiling at least as like, you know, top two guy on a good team. How does that kind of change what they should be doing as a franchise? Because, you know, Carmelo and he are not at all on the same timeline. And I'm not sure who else on this team is sort of still part of, like, the next good Knicks team as a future.
Yeah, I think, unlike Knicks teams of the past, I think there's no rush to make any decision like that, which is kind of nice. You know, it's a rare thing to have, you know, like a front office understand that they can build slow right now. As for Melo, he says all the right things, which is nice. I do wonder, like, at what point the Garden cheering for Porzingis, like, just really annoys, like, really, like, it just gets on him to the point.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, yeah. Right? That it seems like there have been all these guys since Carmelo got there. Like, first when he got there, they still announced, like, Amari Stoudemire last, you know, just because he was sort of, like, the first free agent to come there. And then it was Jeremy Lin, and now it's Porzingis, and they were bad in between then. You know, like, why is it, why do you feel like New York has never really fully embraced Carmelo, and, like, how do you think he feels about that?
I think, I think that's fair that he's never been fully embraced. I think there's just a significant amount of Knicks fans that, you know, looked askance at the deal when it happened, that just were not sure about him. You know, he was a divisive player before he got here, for sure. And, you know, there's a lot of Knicks fans that were like, well, he's got to prove it. And he's had a lot stacked against him. They were never able to maintain kind of the core of what should have been a pretty decent team with him and Chandler, you know, like going forward, they just were never able to keep that together. And, I also feel like, you know, this is a fan base that has hungered for like a homegrown guy for so long. You know, they just haven't had, draft picks, or the draft picks, the guys that they've taken, they've shipped out, and haven't, you know, and frankly, like haven't been this good. So it's an interesting dynamic for sure. Chris Haps has kind of like been real smart about it, and he's like deflected the attention. Like at every chance he's had, he's, you know, talked about Melo. But I just feel like there's no way that is not annoying to you if you're a veteran guy who's been in the league a long time and who's ostensibly the star of the team. So that'll be just interesting to watch, I think.
Well, and something else I think that is a big part of the whole Melo thing that I think doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, I've thought about fake Melo trades for plenty of time, is that he has a no trade clause, which not only affects where he goes because he has so much power to wield over it, but also it affects the return that they theoretically could get for him, because since he can do so much to control it, he actually can limit the amount that they get back because he can say no to a lot of different things. And so generally speaking, this is more of a baseball thing, I guess, in some ways than other sports, is that I think that the return they would get for him might be a little bit different because he can veto anything.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes it harder. You know, like with various Knicks fan friends, we've tried to, you know, hash out, well, where would he want to go, number one? And it just doesn't seem like, you know, it's obviously all speculation, but it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of places that, you know, the Venn diagram between the places that that could get him and that he would want to go, it just is not very big. So,
yeah. It'll be interesting. No, I agree with you. I mean, Chicago is sort of the one that people talk about, but you know, I mean, is the Sacramento pick and a couple of first-rounders and, like, Doug McDermott, that's not going to get it done, I don't think, from the Knicks standpoint.
Exactly. You know, the Lakers, he would want to go, but they're not giving up their young guys plus whatever else, and, you know, it's tough.
And this is also why I think that when Melo gets traded, if he does, it'll be during the offseason, because then you can get that Knicks optimism, because then they can trade him for less, but they can use the space. Whereas, like, if they traded him, let's say, during this season to a team for mostly, like, dead salary or something like that, I don't think that's realistic, because it hurts their chances. But if they, let's say, during the summer, if they move him, that, like, let's say the Lakers miss out on all the guys they really, really want, and then they do it, they can do it for less, because then the Knicks have something they can do with that.
Yeah. I think it's a long shot also that they move him this year, unless he just really wants to go and is pissed.
Yeah, I mean, they could, you know, if they, like, kind of fall out of it now. I mean, like, where are you thinking they're going to end up now after this first month? Like, what are you seeing for them as, like, a final record?
I'm going to stick with what I said before, which is, like, between 32 and topping out at 37 games. I think you're seeing the limits of their roster. They are what they are. You know, it's like you play guys like Kevin Serafin and Lance Thomas big minutes, and you have to because, you know, those are the guys that are there, and this is what will happen at times, you know. They're a limited team. They're a better team, but a limited team, and I think I'm still sticking with what I said when we talked the first time.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. I thought that they were a really good bet for the under of, I think, 31 wins. Right. I might be convinced now to get in kind of 33, 35 type of range. Although the fact that they don't have their pick means that they might kind of get a little bit to the higher of that range ultimately. But, no, I mean, I think, like, the fact that they've defended as well as they have has been, like, the most remarkable part to me. But, you know, we'll see if that holds up. They're kind of just, like, middle of the league so far defensively. But that's better than anyone expected.
I mean, part of it is just like, and it's crazy, but they really look a lot, they look like a pretty good team when Porzingis is on the court, and they've lost, you know, the last definitely the last game, they pretty much lost in like the 9 minutes that he sat. You know, so it's like they're depending a lot on a 20-year-old rookie who's 7'3", and they're playing him like just a touch too many minutes right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he could hit the wall or just regress a little bit. Although I'm not sure how much he really. I mean, maybe he won't be able to keep up this level of energy all year, but you know, his shooting hasn't been like unbelievable. You know, to the point where you're like, oh, this is going to regress. I mean, that's the number one thing that you look at as being unsustainable. And I think he actually, you know, hasn't been that amazing as a shooter. It's been the other stuff. So he might even start to shoot better. Who knows?
Oh, 100%. I just think that the energy has been so much of like why he's been able to make an impact, you know, all the stuff he's doing outside of his shooting, the way he pursues the ball, et cetera. The way he moves around, I just think if that starts to flag, once he starts to hit the rookie wall, you may see them start to drop off. And after that, you know, it's like the Knicks are at the point where it's got to be Melo, Kristaps, or Aflalo on the court at any one time. And if Kristaps starts to hit that rookie wall, you're going to see them start to fall off a little more.
Yeah, I agree with you. But nonetheless, I mean, it's got to be more encouraging than
super,
like anyone would have thought.
Super encouraging. Like yeah. Knicks fan base is thrilled.
All right, well, let's get you out of here. Thanks so much for coming on. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
At network.
With a
three
for the O, right?
Three for the O.
Yeah. What's your writing story right now?
I am currently writing for ESPN something, maybe, in the future.
All right, so nothing to plug at the moment?
Absolutely nothing to plug at the moment.
That's fantastic, actually. you better be back for Game of Thrones, though. Like, I really, that is, like, completely essential. Like, the Ask the Maester column is like definitely like a must read once that comes out.
I'm sure that I will do that at some place to be determined in the future.
All right. For us, you can follow me on Twitter at NateDuncanNBA. Danny is Danny LaRue. If you want to support the program, you can use that cap space code that we talked about with SeatGeek or on DraftKings as well to play some one-day fantasy basketball. And also follow our writings at Nate Duncan NBA is my Facebook page. Danny's is Danny LaRue NBA. All right. So for Jason and Danny, we will talk to y'all next time.
Thanks, guys.